Morning, Rabbi Isai. So until now, we've had two versions of the Hariga of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, who was either number four or number five of the Asura Haruge Malchus. One version was simply that he was a tzaddik, he was Yosha Batanis, who was 70 years old, and they executed him. One version. The other version that we learnt yesterday was that he wanted to make Kiddush, it was Erev Shabbos, and he asked them for permission to wait, grant him his last wish, and they granted him his last wish, and he made Kiddush, and when he got to Asher Boro Elokim La'asois, that's when they killed him, and he died with the word Elokim on his lips. That was version number two. Version number three, you should have all asked me, because today a week ago, we had a drosha from a Rabbi Shtal. Rabbi Shtal gave us a shiur on smicha, on the chain of smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu down to as far as it got, and then what smicha is bizman hazeh. And he quoted the Gemara, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, running onto Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says there that zocho oiso ish latoiv. Let us remember for good. Let us have a good memory of a certain person. Who is he? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova Shemoi. This is our Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, one of the Asura Haruge Malchus. It says, why? Shel molehu, because if not for him, nishtakach toyas kenosos mi Yisrael. That we would no longer be able to do dine kenosos. What does that mean? That in order to do dine kenosos, and in order to do dine nefoshos, in order to have a Sanhedrin, in order to have a Beis Din of Chof Gimel, in order to paskin capital punishment, we need smuchin. You need dayonim who are somuch ish mipi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu down all the way through the generations. And in the Roman times, there was a danger that smicha was going to be finished because smicha was illegal. And they said that anybody who is involved with smicha will be executed, and any town where smicha takes place, the town will be razed to the ground. It says, what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova do? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova says, we're going to lose the chain of command, we'll have no Sanhedrin, we'll have no capital punishments, we'll have no kenosos. Also, another kavodah that the Romans had was that they would not be able to do Kiddush HaChodesh, they would not be able to be Ma'aba the Shona, in which case you can't fix the Yomim Tovim, and they have all sorts of problems with the calendar. So therefore, he said, I have to make sure that smicha continues. What did he do? Tomorrow.
Started at Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Kaf Gimel Tammuz, 8th of July. Rabbi Baruch David Simon Schlitter, Manal Paninim, Beis Yaakov Seminary. Chatzos Laila Akum Lohodos Lecho, a message for the 3 weeks. Stairways Rapunzel Nishmas. Moros. Gitcha, the Lang Olah Rasholem, Bas, the Chava with Mordechai, Zichron Lebrocha, whose Yahrzeit was on Sunday, the Nishas Hour, esteemed founder Yosef Dov Ben, Shemichot Svi Itzkovitz, Zichron Lebrocha.
Good morning. It's a tremendous privilege to be here today, Baruch Hashem. The last time I was Zeichet to be in the UK was approximately 12 years ago, and we came for a very short visit. We started from the shtetl of Geitzer, moved our way towards London in my capacity as being manal of a seminary. The opportunities to meet the different mechanchim here throughout England was a very, very special for me. The tremendous amount of chachma and the dedication, the commitment was really, really a pleasure. And this has been a tremendous, tremendous trip, and I appreciate very, very much this opportunity to come and speak for Torah Way. I was zeichet to learn when I was younger in Tel's Yeshiva by Rav Gifter, zeichet tzedek v'karsh levracha, and one of the most powerful messages that I can picture all the time in my head of Gifter thundering out in his typical way of speaking was, the Torah is not another subject. It says, Aleben, it's kihem chayenu v'erech yameinu, it's a way of life. The Torah is not just a list of do's and don'ts, a bunch of tariyak mitzvahs, what you could do, what you can't do. The Torah is way beyond that. It is something which teaches us how to live in our day-to-day lives. And the truth is that Rashi In the beginning of our Torah, Rashi, I think, references this concept. Rashi asks the famous question, why did the Torah start from Bereishis and not from Achedesh HaZalachem, which is really where the mitzvah start from? And Rashi says, the pasuk he brings down is Koyach Masav Higid Liyamoy Las Islam Nachlas Gayim. The Koyach of his Masav he told his nation to give us the Nachlas Gayim. And Rashi goes on to say is that the idea of this specific story, this specific Bereishis, is to tell us that Eretz Yisrael belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has the right to give it to Klal Yisrael. The Umos HaElyon can't come and say that we stole the Eretz Yisrael. But in essence, if you look at this pasuk, it's an interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, Koyach Masav Higid Le'amai. The strength of his actions, he told his nation, meaning Klal Yisrael. L'chayra, the pasuk should have said, Masav Higid Le'Umos HaElyon. Right? His actions, what he did, how the world was created, he told the nations of the world, this is what happened, therefore leave Klal Yisrael alone. The pasuk says, Koyach Masav, the strength of his actions, and it's Higid La'ama, what are you telling us for? Tell the Goyim, they're the ones who are complaining, why are you telling us? And I think the Rashi is being ramus this idea, that it's not about stories that Kadosh Baruch Hu did X, Y, and Z. We have to understand the Koyach Masav, these stories have meanings behind it. There's lessons, there's messages that we need to learn from the stories of the Torah in order for us to know how to live our basic lives on a day-to-day basis, not only then, but even till today. And it's not a message for the Goyim, it's La'ama, it's for us. We need to study and learn all of the stories in the Torah, because each and every one of them has a message that is helping us get through our day-to-day lives, and it's not dated, it's timeless. It's something which applies even on our very, very day. The Zohar HaKadosh also says the same thing. He says all of the stories. He said there are so many stories that happened with our Avos, so many stories that took place over the years that the Torah doesn't even tell us about. One of the most famous stories that we have with Avraham Avinu, which everybody knows, and it's one of our best stories. Every child loves it when they go to school. Is the story of Avraham Avinu and his father's idol shop. And Avraham Avinu goes and breaks all the idols. That's an incredible story. He gets thrown into the Kibshan because of it. He's being Meis Nefesh. And yet the Torah doesn't even tell us that story. It's something which we know from Chazal. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, yes, it's a powerful story, but the only stories that the Torah tells us are stories that we need to help us learn how to live our lives. Ki heim chayenu v'arech yameinu. We're in a time now of the 3 weeks, which is the time of Sinas Chinam. And we know that is something which we have to move past. It's something which we have to get beyond, because the Sinas Chinam was the second Beis Hamikdash we got destroyed. The first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of the three terrible Averis, the Gimel Averis Chamuris. And Chazal tell us clearly the Aver of Sinas Chinam is much more intense, is much more bad, is more difficult than the three Averis Chamuris, because that was a limited Gullus. It was a Gullus that lasted 70 years. And the Gullus we find ourselves in has been thousands of years, and we're still not done with it. So, Sinas Chinam obviously is such a terrible thing that it's even greater than the three worst Averis possible, and our Gullus has not yet ended. So, we have to find the source in the Torah that can help us understand and explain the concept of Sinas Chinam in order for us to figure out what we need to do in order to bring the Gula. Recently, we lay in the parasha of Balak, and we're introduced to the story of Bilam. Bilam HaRosh is hired by Balak to curse Klal Yisrael, and he tries. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow him. And every single thing that he tries to say, every klala he tries to give, turns into bracha. But a very incredible thing came out of this whole story with Bilam. We ended up, through the words of Bilam, identifying the strengths of Klal Yisrael. Through the words of Bilam, we were able to see how incredible of a nation we are, where our kaychas lie, where our strengths are, how we can be, why we are the most incredible nation, the Am HaNivcha. We found through the attempted klalos of Bilam, we found our strengths. The most famous of all of these brachos, the pasuk, is Matoy V'Olecha Yaakov. Matoy V'Olecha Yaakov, we say this every day, that is one of the things that is the Bilam attempted to give a klala, and instead he ended up talking about the strength of Yaakov. What is the strength of Yaakov? The Ayalecha Yaakov. So Rashi tells us, what did he see? What did Bilam see that was so astounding to him? So Rashi says he sees the way the tents of Klal Yisrael were placed, that there wasn't no door was facing the door of another tent. There was a level of tzniyus. They were tzniyistic. Now the world seems to understand this idea of tzniyus. This is the pashup shat of this idea, is that the concept of tzniyus is not a concept of how a person dresses. It's a tzniyah leches. It's tzniyus, which is living your lives in a way that not everybody sees what's going on. And what is the value of tzniyus? Chazal tell us, Ein habracha shruya ela al adavar hasamim min ha'ayin, right? Bracha comes on something which is hidden. Tzniyus is something which brings bracha. Bilam HaRasha, he looks at these tents, he says, Balak, you want me to curse Klal Yisrael? I can't curse Klal Yisrael. I can't curse Klal Yisrael because they're now in a matzav of bracha. When a person is living a life of atzneh aleches, when a person is living a life of tzniyos, that nobody has to see what's going on in someone else's house, that brings bracha by definition. And there's no way that klal could work because there's an automatic result called bracha. And if a person is out there and everyone has to know what's going on, unfortunately that takes away the ability to have bracha, and it opens up the area for chas v'sham other forces to take place. This is actually something which we deal with in a tremendous way nowadays, unfortunately, in the world of technology, when every single thing is broadcast to the entire world. The idea of not having everyone know what's going on in my life is something which unfortunately has become extremely, extremely difficult. I remember one time we sent on some family chat, I sent a message that one of my children got engaged many years ago, and I got back a message, if there's no picture, it didn't happen. What an incredible thing to say. The reality gets existing only if I can prove to someone else that it actually took place. The fact that they actually got engaged, that was nothing. But that's where we're in. We're in a situation, and then we wonder, where in the world would the bracha come from? Bracha coming from tzniyus is an automatic reaction. As long as we are tzniyistic, as long as we live a life of atzneh aleches, we get bracha. And if we don't, then we're opening ourselves up. We're vulnerable. So that is the pashup shat in the tzniyus of Matovu Alecha Yaakov, that the fact that Klal Yisrael was living a life where they recognize that we have to have this idea of atzneh aleches, Bilam says, I can't curse, it's impossible. Automatic bracha comes. But I think there was another chat that I thought, the thought actually occurred to me, it came to me during our period, our difficult period with Corona many years ago. And just to throw out there, we're meeting with the Mechanchim now, and it's incredible how till today, we Mechanchim can identify the children that have gone through Corona. The effects are still happening 6 years later as the kids are getting older. My own person, my son personally, is going into eighth grade. His Rebbe told me that they're planning in eighth grade, in a cheder in Eretz Yisrael, they're planning on bringing in someone to enhance their reading and writing skills because they missed it in second grade. They didn't have people do it, and it's literally still affecting us. It's a very powerful thing. It's just affecting us out of Yain. But one of the very, very interesting ideas that came out, I remember during that time, we spoke, I gave a Dvar Torah on this, a shir on this pasuk, and I said, you know, another thing that came out with the fact that the tents were not facing each other is besides for the tzniyas, nobody was able to see what you were up to. In Corona, we got to a situation at one point where not only were we not allowed to come to shuls, but even making private minyanim wasn't allowed. And every single person was doing their own thing in their own house by themselves with their immediate family. And I said to my students at the time, I said, we should really pay attention. What do we look like now that nobody is watching? It's just me and the Rebbeinu Shalom. Does my davening look the same? Am I dressing the same way? Am I putting on the same clothing that I normally do when I went to shul? Do I daven with the same kavana? Do I take as long? Do I say the words the way I do? What happens? How am I acting when no one's around to watch me? The way that a person acted was a clear indication of who are you? What's your relationship? And it was, but more than that, it was an opportunity for us to say, you know what? I really have to. This is now that I see where I'm holding, am I truly fulfilling my tafkid of Avodas Hashem? Am I truly doing my best that I need to do to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom? Every single person is born with a tafkid. Every human being in the world was created with a specific job by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no other person in the entire world that has the ability to do that job. From the beginning, this is the task with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't double up jobs. Every single person has a job, and he needs to do that job, and without him doing that job, it will not be done. The world cannot come to Shlemus unless every single one of us does the job we were created for. Now is the opportunity, I told my Talmidim and my Talmidais, now is the opportunity for you to identify where are your kaiches, where are your strengths, what is your job, because your job is critical for the Tikkun HaOlam. Your job is critical for us to have Shlemus, which the world needs in order for us to get the end goal, which is obviously the Geula Hasidus. So I think that the Matoivu Olecha Yaakov was not only about being tzniyus, it was also a way of identifying that every single person is an individual with an individual tafkid, with a critical tafkid that there's no one else in the entire world that can do it besides for that person. And that's the Pshat Arashi of Matoivu Olecha Yaakov. But there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that says there was a different value that Bilam was touching onto when he said Matoivu Olecha Yaakov. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kufay Amid Bey says that he was talking about the Bate Knesias Ubate Midrashis. Matoivu Olecha Yaakov, Mishkanesach Yisrael was talking about the shuls and the base medrashes of Klal Yisrael. The places that represent Achdus, the places that represent Klal Yisrael in their individuality, coming together to be one nation, to be together as a group. Seeming to be the opposite. One's the individual and one's the klal. What is the idea? What's the idea of this need for the klal? The idea that we need this achdus, we need a place where the individuals with their individual kaiches, the individual strengths, to come together to be one group. By the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, we find that the Chazal tell us that the reason why they died is Kishalenagu Kovet Zebazet. Now, I just want to give a hakdama that when we talk about these G'dayli Olam, in any case, the Torah tells us sometimes about flaws in our leaders, whether it was Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Really, we shouldn't have the audacity to Chas V'Shalom talk about their flaws. Their flaws at our level, we wouldn't even be able to identify them. But my Rabbeim taught me that if the Chazal or the Torah told us about a flaw in the Gedolim that came before us, it's because he wants us to talk about it and to learn. It's a message that we need to learn. So it's not chutzpah or audacity to talk about the flaws of these people. They want us to, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure we found out for us to learn from. So we're going to talk about the flaws of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. I just wanted to give that hakdama. What does that mean? So of course it doesn't mean that they were rude to each other, that they didn't open the door for each other. They were tzaddikei olam. They were gedolim. You walked into the Beis Medrash with 24,000 Talmidim, they were staggering away, they were learning, they were being mechabed, they were making coffees for each other. They were of course being mechabed. There was one nekuda which we don't even understand, and we probably couldn't even realize if we would have been there, and that is that when it comes to Limud HaTorah, they didn't accept other people's worldview, Torah view. Meaning to say is that this is my way, my mahalach, that's what works, and other mahalachim were not for me. They were not respectful of another person's mahalach and Torah. So the easiest way to understand that is that they were part of the Masorah. There's a Masorah that goes from Rebbe to Talmud, and if the kli, if the vessel that is giving over the Torah is flawed, it's gonna taint the whole Torah. And because they had a chasaron in midas, whatever that means, they couldn't be part of the Masorah. But it's hard to say that just because a person had a flaw, he couldn't be part of the Masorah. Because Chazal tell us, Ein tzadik baratz shel yechid. There's no such thing as a perfect person. It can't be that just because they weren't 100% perfect, that you can't be the Masorah. It doesn't make sense, because there's no such thing as a perfect person. We know this. That's what Chazal tell us. So there must be something specific with the specific mida of Lenagu Kovet Zeh B'Zeh that caused the problem with them being the next link in the Masorah. And I think the pshat is, we know that there's Shivim Panim LaTorah. There are 70 ways to understand the Torah. Which means that the Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah has many, many different ways to be learned, and all of them are true, and the Ribbono Shel Olam intended them all. But there's not a single person in the entire world that has the yecheles to be able to understand all 70 ways. There's different styles of learning. People learn differently. People think differently. You have the different shitas of learning. You have the shita of Brisk, you have Mirin, you have Slabatkin, you have Navardikin, you have Telzin, you have Kelm. All of these places were in tremendous places of Torah, and they all had a different style of learning. When I was in the Mir Yeshiva, there's, Baruch Hashem, thousands and thousands of Tamidim, and one of the most noisiest times, besides when the Beis Medrash was full of people learning, outside the Beis Medrash was the beginning of the Zman when they had what was called the Chavrusa Tumul. When people were trying to find Chavrusas, and you have a gathering of so many different Shivas throughout the world that are coming to the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and all different types, and all different styles, and this one learns faster, this one learns thorough, this one learns deeper, this one learns this step of Mefarish, this one's that, and there was Shatchanim. There are people that they used to do matches between different people and try to set things up. And Baruch Hashem, I was zeicher to be one of these shatchanim. And it was literally like making a shidduch between a boy and a girl, checking a family background, what's your style, what yeshiva, what type of learning you want, you want faster. And that's what it is. There's so many different styles that it was a difficult project. So in order for us to get to Shivim Panim Latira, we can't expect one person to have it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecharei Zechatzadik Levracha, he had no ability to get all 70 Panim L'Torah because he had his Mahalach and learning. But he didn't need to because there's other people that were doing other ways of Torah. But together, each one of us with our own Mahalach as a group, we could bring Torah to the next generation. So the Leinogu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh wasn't a chesaron in midos. It was a critical midah that's required for Mesiras HaTorah. In order for us to give over the Torah B'Shleimus, we have to respect other Mahalachim learning because they're also right. Shivim Panim LaTorah. So the chesaron wasn't just that they didn't respect each other. They felt if they weren't willing to accept that there are other ways to learn the Torah, then the Torah was not able to be given over as a group. In order for the Torah to be given over, all of us have to come together and give it over. As a matter of fact, there are people that say, that's why one of the biggest questions I remember had, you know, the Baruch Hashem wants us obviously to keep Kol HaTorah Kula. You'd think that a Yid from Torah Yid, Kol HaTorah Kula, you got to keep Kol HaTorah Kula. Well, then why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us a Torah that we can't keep Kol HaTorah Kula? Because there are some mitzvahs that are negiah to Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, men, ladies, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laretz. It's impossible for one Yid in the entire world from the beginning of creation to the end of time to keep every single mitzvah in the Torah. So why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do that? Why not give us a Torah and give us an opportunity to keep the whole Torah? Don't you want us to keep the whole Torah? And I think, I've heard this from an Adam Gadol once told me that the pshat is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling us you can't do this on your own. No, you need each other. You have to come as a group. In order for the Torah to be kept, you all have to be together. Yes, you have your own individual jobs, you have your own individual mitzvahs, but you need the other person to have Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's why Chazal, the Torah, by Matan Torah, stressed the idea of Achdus. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Negedar, Vayichan Aloshin Yachid, Klai Yisrael, the Torah stresses the idea that we needed to have one. We were at 2 million plus individual people standing with their individual kaiches and our individual tafkidim, but it was ki'ish echad b'levechad, because together as a group, that is what we need in order to be able to be have Kabbalah Satara. So we have these two concepts. The concept of the individual, the strength, the tafkid, what his point is, and the idea is that we need each other. We have to come together, the base of Knesset and the base of Medrash. The two understandings of Matayvu Alecha Yaakov. But how do we get to this point? And the truth is, by the way, that Arizal says something fantastic, incredible. That Arizal says, what was Bilam's Eitzah to Moav when after he didn't manage to curse Klai Yisrael? The Arizal says, Bilam's Eitzah was, the Torah tells us, was to go with his Noisus B'nai Yisrael, to get to seduce Klai Yisrael to do Averis. And a whole large group of Klal Yisrael went away and unfortunately did a veris to the B'nai Ismayav. How many people separated themselves from Klal Yisrael and did a veris to the B'nai Ismayav? How many people died in the Magefa? 24,000 people. Says Darizal, that's the same number of the Talmid of Rebbe Kiva that died. 24,000. Because they were a Gilgal of those 24,000 people that were Pirish from the Tzibur. The people by the time of Mayav, by Bilam, were Pirish from Klal Yisrael to do that Vera, and their their Gilgulim was the Tamid of Rabbi Akiva, and they too didn't create this concept of Tzibur, and that's why they died. There's the same type of Mageva, says Darizal, the same number of 24,000. But how do we understand, how do we get to this point of understanding the value of the individual, which is so important, and then bring it together with the Achdus of Klal Yisrael? We know that we said before that the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, is because of Sinas Chinam. What does the word Sinas Chinam mean? I hate someone for no reason. Now, I've met many, many people in my life. I've never in my life ever met a person that hates someone for no reason. Never happens. Right? They could have bad reasons, they could have lousy reasons, but nobody's walking down the street seeing a random person and saying, I hate you. Why? I don't know, I just hate you. There has to be something. There's something that brought the hate. How can it be called chinam? You can say, the toast, by mistake, they're miscalculating. What does it mean, sinas chinam, that I hate the person for no reason? No such thing. I've never met a person that hates someone and he has zero reason for hating him. There's always something there, whether it's right or wrong, there's something. So what is this idea of sinas chinam that causes so much problems? Let's go back to another story in the Torah. The story of the Mei Meriva. The story of the Mei Meriva, Moshe Rabbeinu, is told by the Rabbani Shem to talk to the seller to bring out water, and instead he hits the seller, and history has changed, and Moshe Rabbeinu can't go into Eretz Yisrael. The Panim Yafos, which is written, I believe, by the Hafla, says, he explains the story in a very interesting way. He says, the Rabbani Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take the matter and go speak to the rock. Now, the rock hears a tzivoy from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to produce water. It's going to produce water, because that's what Hashem wants. How does the rock know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one giving the tzivui, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not making it up itself? So with Moshe Rabbeinu is an incredible phenomenon, because Moshe Rabbeinu had a lisp. And Chazal tell us that the way they knew the Rabbeinu Shem was talking through Moshe Rabbeinu was because his lisp disappeared. The way they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach when he said, Pakad Yifkaid, that was, everyone knew it was a Messiah in Klal Yisrael, that the one who comes and says, Pakad Yifkaid, is the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael. But everyone knew it. Maybe he's a faker. Maybe he's just showing up and saying, Pakad Yifkaid. Because one of the things Moshe couldn't say was a pay. And when he said Pakad Yifkaid and they heard there's no lisp, they realized it was the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's supposed to talk to the seller. The seller hears, produce water, and he'll produce water. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, Shimuna Amarin. He starts those words, you rebellious people. Says Chazal, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is misalik. The Shechina goes away from him. And he speaks to the rock and he's talking like Moshe Rabbeinu. So the rock says, you're not the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's not the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I hear you talking now. And he refuses to split, to produce water. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I guess that's why Hashem told me to take the matter. And that's why he hits the seller. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says, Shimon HaMeirin, the Shechina runs away from him. You have no right to talk to Klal Yisrael that way. But the parasha before, by Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu also talked very, very strongly. Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, he also talked. Why was that okay? Why was it that when he talks, when Korach's being going against the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's okay to scream at him? When Klal Yisrael's going against the Rabbeinu Shalom, no, you can't talk to Klal Yisrael. That's also Klal Yisrael. What's the difference? So I saw a pshat was an incredible idea. The difference was, Korach was coming from a place of kinah, a place of jealousy. You're jealous? You think you deserve more? You have to scream. You're murdered by Malchus. You're murdered by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael was coming from a place of fear. They needed water. They're afraid of for their children. It was vulnerability. Yes, it's true, they should have had Amunah, they should have had Bitachin, but they were coming from a place of fear. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to understand, Klal Yisrael is afraid. Don't scream at them. Be mechanech them. Tell them, don't worry about it. Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. It'll work itself out. Why are you being angry at them? The Shekhinah goes away from them. You have to understand there's always a backstory. The opposite of that, we find by David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Chatzos Laila Akum L'Hodos Hashemecha. What did David HaMelech get up at night to thank Hashem for Bechatzos? Rav Pinkus, on his Pirush, he says a whole Mahalach on Megillas Rus, not in a separate Sefer, in Chumash Vayikra, in the Seder on Chumash, he says a beautiful explanation, the whole Megillas Rus, but he says this pasuk was referring to something incredible. David HaMelech was referring to Boaz, wakes up in the middle of the night and he sees Rus sleeping by his feet. His reaction should have been, you're a prutza, what are you doing here? Middle of the night, what are you trying to do? Maybe that's why they don't want to take you out of Me'avir, they don't want to accept you into Klai, so maybe it makes sense now. He should have screamed, what are you doing here? This is prutza, you can't be here. But he says the most beautiful three words in the world. He says, Mi at BT. Who are you? There's a backstory. Before I scream, before I shout, before I curse, maybe there's a story here that you need to understand. Find out. Maybe there's more than meets the eye. Says David HaMelech, if my grandfather Boaz would have cursed my grandmother Ruth, I wouldn't be here today. But because Boaz understood, before you say Shimon HaMarin, say me at BT, that's why David HaMelech exists, that's where we exist. And that's what he got up to thank Hashem for. What an incredible idea. It applies to every aspect of our lives. Do we say to the people around us, Shimon HaMarin, or do we say me at BT, me ata bini, me ata achi? This applies to obviously to chinuch and our children. When our children do something that makes us upset, we say, what are you doing? Why? Or is there a backstory? Is there something that's going on? It applies to friends. Shalom bayis. How many times the number one cause of shalom bayis issues is miscommunication? Someone says something, the other one gets insulted. Why are you saying, why don't you just say me at ishti? Me at ba'ali. Who are you? What's going on? Why are you saying this? And it could be that they made a mistake. And it could be that they're going to apologize. But that's okay, because once there's a communication, it works. Sinas chinam means that we didn't bother to say, who are you? Just tell us what's going on. Take the time, instead of jumping to the conclusion and saying, this is terrible, how dare you? Instead of saying, Shimunu hamayrin, say, mi ata, who are you? What's going on? And if we would always take out the time just to understand the backstory, just to understand. Business partners that get into fights, it's the same thing. Just ask the question. Find out. Now, again, it doesn't mean that at the end there isn't something that needs to be worked through. And it doesn't mean to be some rectification and apologies. It's all true. It all works. But before we say Shimon HaMarim, let's say Mi At Biti, Mi At Abani. And if we use that, if we recognize that strength, we will be able to identify how every single person in Klal Yisrael is incredible. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is absolutely necessary. We need each other because we all have our tafkid that no one else can do for us. And we can't get to the geula if we're not all on board. We need each and every one of us with our personal strength. We need to identify and recognize the strength. We need to bring them together into a batei knesiyos, batei midrashos. Come together as a group, and then Be'ezras Hashem Yisparach will reach the geula shleima b'mehreh bimeinu.
Appreciate you.